Hello, welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. Today, I'm talking to the head of design over at Stjernstrom's, Peter Uriedo, and a quick little backstory on Stjernstrom's that I've peeled from their website, which you can find, by the way, at stjernstrom's.com. Our history began in 1899, when the Swedish tailor August Stjernstrom found himself overwhelmed with orders. His reputation as an outstanding shirt fashioner had spread in town. All the elegantly dressed men in Helsingborg wanted one of his masterpieces, and Stjernstrom found it hard to keep up. To meet the needs of his sophisticated clients, he decided to build a shirt factory. Under Stjernstrom's strict supervision, a larger number of quality shirts could now be produced. With time, his business flourished, and word spread far and wide. More people discovered Stjernstrom's garments, e.g. many of the well-travelled and demanding sea captains that sailed through the harbour of Helsingborg. Returning to their home countries dressed in Stjernstrom's elegant outfits, they unknowingly helped him become a global exporter. Still today, Stjernstrom's is internationally renowned for its pristine quality. Using only the best fabrics and trims, we craft classic and contemporary clothing. The perfect fit and feel based on 120 years of sustainable craftsmanship. And there it is. I felt it probably better to read that in the first person because it's a nice little story. But here to tell us more about the brand is head of design, Peter Uriedo.
Okay, I'm Peter. I've been working in the company for 27 years. So I've been, I started more or less as a salesman. And we actually had another company as well at that time called Oscar Jacobson. I think in Great Britain, it's famous for golf clothes and also for suits and jackets and things like that. And so I worked for both of these companies to start with, both for Oscar Jacobson and then for Stjernstrom's. And like 15 years ago, I started to work with the product because actually when I started in the company, it was we were producing shirts in Helsingborg here where I'm located. So we had actually a real factory behind my back. You know, I was sitting in my office and the production was just behind my back. So I more or less was running out in production and doing things all the time. And step by step, I was involved in the product, and I worked together with a guy that's been working in the business for more than 40 years. You know everything about shirts, you know. So
right. And so is your background in shirt making, pattern cutting?
No, not at all. Actually, I'm an electric engineer from the start.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I mean, I worked in the factory in Stjernstrom's for 27 years, so I think I picked up a few things.
And so on the website, there's a nice picture of this factory. Is it the same factory that's still going today?
No, it's not. It's like this factory that you see on the homepage. I think it's the early factory where it all started. And the factory, or actually today it's an office, it's started there in 1967, I think. So it's even before my time.
Right, okay. And so talk a little bit about, so what's your day-to-day role in the company?
I have kind of two roles in the company. I'm head of design, and I'm also working as a creative director, more or less. So I make the direction where we are going, you know. We also do ladies wear, and I don't do ladies wear, but I try to keep it a little bit together.
Right. Okay. So maybe talk about the seasons. Is it season based, or is it, how often do you come up with new designs and rotate?
We have two main collection, and then we have like two small drops. Like we do one extra drop in April, and then we do one drop in October. That's a little bit an extra collection to pick up things that we think is important, maybe that we didn't have in the main collection.
Right.
So that's more or less how we work. Yes.
So why is that, like, for people that haven't been on the website or are unfamiliar, maybe in the UK with Stjernstrom's, what is the, like, the philosophy of the brand, the design? What do you try and emulate?
First of all, I think from the start, I mean, we are a very old shirt producer, so the shirt is the main product. But I mean, the last years, the shirt business actually changed a lot. So I would say that we are a shirt concept today. I mean, one day you wear a t-shirt, one day you wear a knitted something, or and then you wear a shirt. So I would say that my philosophy is to wear our product 7 days a week. You know, it's not just a business shirt. It could be a casual shirt. It could be a t-shirt. But all of the products that we're doing on a high level. You know, we work with really good materials, the top suppliers in Europe. So try to keep it on a very good level.
Right. And do you do, so you do made to measure. Are these different from the ones that are on the website? Are you just a made to measure company?
We do a lot of made to measure. And the shirt that you see on the web page, it's our basic shirt. It's actually more or less what you get when you do made to measure as well. You can add things, you can change things, of course. But the shirt, the product that you see, it's more or less the product that you can change the way you want to.
Right. I mean, the shirts look fantastic. I think what's really appealing about the site after I went on it were how many different kind of shirts that you can choose from. But not only that, if you have a shirt in mind, maybe if you've seen a shirt in a film, and I kind of look at films and TV and always try and think, well, where can I get that? You know, a lot of the times it's probably being specially made for the actors. You know, a lot of the stuff you don't see is, you know, ready to wear and on websites, because you don't have a lot of logos on shirts and stuff like that. But I found there were a lot of different items and different garments on the site that you could, that's just a sale going through, by the way, the little ping.
It's my message.
Someone's just bought a shirt. It's a cash register. So, I mean, do you try and, I guess, create a broad range for everyone, and for everyone that wants to come to the site, there's always going to be something for them. Do you have that in mind?
We have actually different lines on the homepage. If you look there on the web, you can see, like, there's wash shirt, there's business shirt, and there's even a line called 1899. The 1899 line is even a little bit more exclusive. It's more stitching per centimeter. It's split yoke. It's set in sleeve and all these the really luxury details on that shirt. And I mean, not everybody needs that kind of product. You know, I wear a lot of jeans shirt or denim shirt. I prefer these things some day. And another day I would like to have a nice proper white shirt with a tie, you know. So, I mean, it's today, I think I try to do products for more or less a modern man, you know, and it's not like a businessman is dressing a certain way if we don't need to nowadays, you know. It's a little bit more like a feeling. Now I would like to have this, and I would like to wear this.
And what do you think what are people coming to the site for with shirts now? Is there kind of a trend of a certain type of shirt that's coming through more that you noticed in the last couple of months, maybe?
We are quite strong on linen, especially in the...
That's the linen shirt just sold.
but I mean, linen, especially spring, you know, linen is really, really huge article for us right now. And that's a casual linen shirt. But there are also people that like to make a made-to-measure linen shirt and a little bit more formal linen shirts. But right now, I think it's a lot of linen shirts, even if it's still cold here.
Right. And where are you getting the fabrics from? So they're all made in Sweden, I take it.
Yeah, I work a lot with Italy. I work very close with the big mills there. I don't know if you should mention them, our linen is from Thomas Mason, one of the most famous producers of shirt fabric. And yeah, actually, we do a special linen together with them, and they call it the Swedish linen, because I like to change it a little, because I need it a little bit softer than it normally is. So
nice. And do you get a chance to go over to these mills now the world's opened up again?
Yeah, quite frequently in Italy, more or less, I wouldn't say each month, but we have like a good cooperation together with them. I actually had the guy from Albini, Thomas Mason online yesterday, talking to them about next fall winter 2023. So wow. We are already starting to work on these things right now.
I guess. And has, like, we were talking just offline about the pandemic and world wars. has any of this thrown any spanners in the work for you? Can you plan that far ahead with confidence?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Right now, I'm starting to believe that we can, but I mean, it's been 2 years that you couldn't, you know, it was like very frustrating. You couldn't travel the same way as you used to. You couldn't get the same. I mean, for me, it's very important to meet people, to talk to people and feel the fabrics and see the fabrics in reality. And I mean, there's been so much going on the computer and papers and patterns that way. And so it's been quite tough to work during the last 2 years. So I think right now we're going to back to some kind of normal, I would say.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I have a friend who has an e-commerce shirt shop, and I won't name names, but
okay,
he's certainly found it pretty tricky in the last couple of years. I think mainly due to the casualization of people in the workplace and also people just not going to the office. So you might put on a shirt for a Zoom call, but you're not necessarily looking for a quality shirt because, you know, can you really tell over a Zoom call? You it's really something that is in person, I think, when people can tell the quality of a shirt. So, I mean, did you notice any kind of like dip and were you struggling at any point?
Yeah, for sure we were. I mean, like 2 years ago, I was thinking, should I open a pizzeria or what should I do? No, it was totally different. I mean, it was from one day to another, you know, we were not selling business shirts. We just, you know, it like dropped. Nobody bought the business shirt for it was like dead, more or less, you know. But luckily, we are selling other products. And step by step, actually, it happened before the pandemic, I would say. So we were a little bit prepared because we have always been selling kind of good of casual shirt. And I don't actually agree with you because I think a casual shirt needs also to be high quality fabrics and things like that. And when you start to wear even a shirt that's washed and casual, I think it needs to be nice fabrics, nice buttons, nice trims, everything there as well, even if it looks casual, you know. So I think we were quite well prepared. And also the knitted program, like with merino wool, cashmere and things like that, that was good during the pandemic for sure. So yeah, we actually increased in that area.
That's interesting. Yeah, I do feel like you have to have a quality shirt, be it casual or not. I think what he found, and maybe I found also, was the lack of need to buy more shirts at that time. Yeah, you know, you probably have like a shirt that might be on its way out, but you don't feel the pressing need to kind of revive your shirt wardrobe.
No.
I had a shirt question for you, Peter.
And yeah, okay.
It is a question that I do tend to ask a lot of my friends who are into shirts, and I'm hoping you can shed some light on this. Quarter edge stitching on collars. Now, is this a sign of a higher bespoke garment or a higher quality shirt, I should say? Or is it better when the stitching is very close to the edge of the collar?
I think it's totally a design element, actually.
You think?
Yeah, it is actually. I mean, it depends how. I think one thing is, if you take like removable collarbones inside the collar, you know, if you have like, I think there's plus and minus in this discussion, you know, if you want to have like a really pointed collar. I'm sorry about this. Somebody's
he's a busy man. It's fine.
sorry about
no
that.
No worries. Don't worry.
No, but I mean, you know, when you put this collarbone inside the collar, sometimes you can't get it really out on the point of the collar.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, it's also how you like your shirt to look, because I prefer when my shirt is a little bit curved in the collar, you know, it should be a little bit.
Right.
I like that kind of look, you know. So for me, it's more a design element than if it's nicely done. So I mean, we do both. On the 1899, everything is, I think it's like 2 millimeter stitching. On the normal shirt, we also have 2 millimeter stitching, but normally on the basic shirt, it's 5 millimeters. So
right.
I don't know if it's a quality sign. I don't think so.
So it's not harder to do the stitching that's closer to the edge?
No, I don't think so.
Right, okay. Because that's the kind of the rumblings, the debate that goes on is because if it's closer to the edge of the collar, then it's naturally harder to do. Because there's more, you haven't got as much leeway, do you know what I mean? You haven't got as much
leeway. I need to ask the people that makes the shirt.
Bring them in.
I don't think so.
We're hit pause. Bring the staff in. Well, thanks anyway for indulging me. The debate will rage on, I'm sure. So talk to me, please, Peter, about some of the concessions. We also mentioned offline that you have some here in London. I think you've got 3 concessions, if I'm right, in London. One in Chiswick, I know, because it's just around the corner from me.
You probably know it better than me.
So I'm just going by the website. But do you have any plans to do any standalone stores in the UK or elsewhere?
We have a few standalone shops. You know, we have one in Copenhagen. We have one in Hamburg. We also used to have one in Stockholm, but we have a big area on a quite famous department store called NK now. It's was actually very new before the pandemic, and it's almost 400 square meters. It's a really, really big area. So we have standalone shops, but I mean, now 2 years and we haven't actually discussed to build new shops. You know, we more or less focus on just to try to get the production running in a correct way again after the pandemic.
Interesting. Well, if you do come to London, I hope you'll consider, because I'll be certainly interested in seeing either a pop-up shop or something that might be a flagship store in London. Where do you feel like there might be a place for you in London? Do you think there might be a particular part?
I think we had a look before the pandemic. Actually, maybe it's not my area. You know, I'm trying to be the designer. I love London and I love a lot of places. I think there's that other people that would say that's where we should be or everything. I don't know. I don't know the places so well, you know. I know,
I mean, Jermaine Street, really, I think would be your first port of call.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah. How do you think about the e-commerce versus bricks and mortar? Does one play into the other for you, and do you put more focus into one or the other?
I think if you have asked me that question a few years ago, I would say that why should we be online, you know? Why should we? But today I'm. It's a difficult question because I'm really proud of our retailers and we really like to have a good cooperation with our retailers. But our retailers need also us to be seen on the web, you know. So it's two ways, you know. So we need to sell on our webpage and we also need the retailers. So I think a mixture between these two is necessary.
Yeah. Have you had to augment the site at all since lockdown? As in, have you had to put more different things on the site because you know people will be going to the site more?
I think we have been running this site for a few years now, and we get more and more experience for each year, you know. And I think the problem is that it's so easy to put things there, so in the end you can't see what's online, you know, because that's so many things. So yeah. Sometimes you need also to focus what you put there.
I do like the website. I think I like a website where you don't get lost in terms of you don't click on something and you go down a rabbit hole and you're, oh, crap, how do I get out of this? It kind of goes where your eyes and your brain want to go. And the products are super clear as well. Stjernstroms.com is a place to go. And we'll leave a link over on the website at menswearstyle.co.uk. Peter, lastly, do you have any, I don't know, maybe like a top five shirts that you've seen, maybe on an actor? Do you think like there's, because I'm fascinated by films and shirts. I own shirts from certain shirt makers that have done stuff for Roger Moore and actors like that. When we go offline, I'll show you one.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
But do you have any, are you kind of that motivated? Do you see like people that would look good in a shirt and go, crikey, that shirt looks good. We must do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's actually what you're talking about. You know, when you see perhaps an old movie or something, you see some details and it's like, okay. And then you're starting to think about it and then you make a test and things like that. And for sure, I mean, a movie is very, very important to get your inspiration from. And at the moment, I'm wearing a denim with the double pockets and like a Western style, a little more dressed. For me, these things, I get the inspiration quite frequently from watching a nice old movie or something.
Uh-huh.
Even if you haven't seen it for a while, you know, you're starting to see it once again, and then you realize, oh, this is cool, you know.
What kind of films? Is there anything recently that you've seen and you've gone, oh, actually, I like that. Let's get back to the drawing board.
What have I seen recently?
I'm putting you on the spot, I know, Pia.
Yeah. Now, what did I see recently? Right now, I can't remember. I need to get back to you on that because I watched an English series right now on Swedish television that I think is fantastic. But give me a few minutes, maybe.
All right, no worries. I'll buy you some time. Well, so Peter, it's been a great pleasure to speak to you. I've always been fascinated by people that design shirts. I'll just pause this real quick and say goodbye, and then I'll just get my shirt out from one of the films that Roger Moore was in. I think that'll interest you. Actually, I think that'll interest you.
Oh, nice.
I'll say goodbye for now, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you would like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.